Hello, welcome to the Games Life Podcast, episode 140. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week has been another week.
Ugh, yes it has.
I have felt very unproductive this week. I know you guys haven't felt as unproductive, but I felt unproductive.
I mean, we've been doing household stuff. I mean, I guess it's productive. It's not very geeky, but it's productive. That and work was crazy for both of us this week. I had an all-day staff meeting on Wednesday. Kind of cuts into your other time to do stuff.
I hate meetings. I have found out that as a manager now, all the meetings I'm in, I start yawning about 20 minutes into any meeting I'm in. Doesn't matter who's talking, doesn't matter what it's about, I'm going to yawn.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind our meetings usually because they're about an hour and a half, 2 hours, which sounds like a long time, but I feel like we never get anything discussed that we need to discuss half the time. But we digress.
Yep, so I'm just going to hop into kind of newsy stuff that I saw over the week since that's the most I really did this week. Sony put a cryptic
trailer.
A cryptic lightning triangle square circle X video up. And everybody is assuming that means the PlayStation 4 is going to be announced on February 20th. I'm going to make my own guess, which is completely left field and could be entirely not true, but my guess is that they're going to announce cloud integration with the PlayStation Network for their games, since they did buy Genkai a while ago.
That would be nice. I'm really starting to like the cloud.
The cloud is awesome when used appropriately.
Yeah.
So that's my guess on February 20th. It'll probably end up being the PlayStation 3 just to prove me wrong.
You mean PlayStation 4?
Or PlayStation 4 just to prove me wrong. But it would be cool if I was right.
Maybe it'll come up with a better name than PlayStation 4.
I doubt that. Sony's not that inventive.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just makes it easy if you call it the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, the only time they got very creative was the, PS2 TWO. When it was the thin version. Oh.
Their handhelds, they haven't been too bad. Their most recent handheld, called the Vita, at least it wasn't the PS Portable 2 1000. Because, there was a PlayStation Portable, then the 1000, and then I think they went all the way to 4000. Then they went to that little one that had the analog sticks after you... No, it didn't have analog sticks. But
is that one that has a touchpad on the back?
No, that's the Vita.
Okay.
The little one just kind of shifted up and had the controls under there, so it was skinnier, and it didn't have the UMD drive on the back, so
It
didn't work with your old PlayStation portable PSP games. But yeah, so February 20th, we'll find out the great mystery, not so much, that PlayStation is announcing.
I guess if they announce a new system, they got all, if it's been in development for a while, they got to, the end of the year to get it released. I mean, they could so do a November release date, if that's the case. In time for Christmas!
Yeah, though starting to try and build hype in February seems a bit early for a November release.
Well, think of it with the Wii U. I mean, we went to E3, and it wasn't until the following year came out. I guess it just depends on how long. I mean, it could be, they could announce it, and it might not be till next year again.
Here's my only problem with console releases now, with how fast technology improves itself. You create a console, you plan it, you build it. By the time you have it released to market, the technology and it's technically already outdated.
Yeah. I guess I just can't see it yet because the PlayStation 3 is a powerful machine. It really is. They put a lot into it and I can't see them releasing another system so quickly, quite honestly, because, well, they lost a lot just, trying to get the PS3 into the hands of people. But Sony hasn't been doing, quite spectacularly here either. It's been posting some pretty poor, quarters.
Yeah, they're,
I mean, it seems kind of silly to, if you're just now starting to get some profitability out of it from people buying, software for it, then announcing a new system, you're like, well, everybody who doesn't own one is, maybe going to hold out now to get the next one.
Well, see, there's a problem with that, though. With that theory, at least. The PlayStation 2 just stopped selling in 2012. People were still buying it, and they were still making games for it up until then. So it could be they're trying to get the PlayStation 4. Now that the PlayStation 3 is making the money, maybe they want to get the PlayStation 4 going while they have the PlayStation 3 to back them up instead of waiting till the actual replacement phase of the console comes.
I guess it's true. I just think that they haven't reached the full potential of the PS3. I've been, you know, considering the specs on that machine, they're like, yeah, they can still do so much with all this stuff. And I'm like, then why aren't they doing it? Seems sort of silly to make this overpowered machine. You only use like 50% of its capability, and then bring out another machine, and it's like, well, what about this other machine? But then are you going to flood the market with too much stuff? Really, if you have a PlayStation 3 and a PlayStation 4, I guess we'll have to see. I'm very ambivalent. I don't really care because there's nothing that I'm, you know, desperately wanting to play.
Except for possibly Journey.
Yeah, but see, my brother and you both have a PS3, and I could just, you know, Journey, I don't know how long it takes to finish that game, but I could probably go over, like, on a Monday and just watch my brother play. He could probably finish it in a couple of, you know, sessions.
Probably. Anywho, I'm gonna go ahead and move on to the other bit of news I have. EVE Online is apparently still a very popular MMO with a lot of people still playing it. And recently, one of the biggest wars that ever happened in the game happened between the Honey Badgers and the Cluster Fs. From here on now, just known as the Clusters. Apparently, somebody was trying to create a bridge with their Titan, which is one of the most valuable ships in the game, for a smaller ship to go to another area, accidentally hit the button that sent him to that area, and the people there immediately jumped on it. He called for help, they called for help, ensuing war happened, and let's see, according to this PC Gamer article, the losses for each side are calculated over 700 billion in-game currency each side. Apparently the Honey Badgers won. They lost 6 dreadnoughts, 11 carriers, and 1 supercarrier. Where the Clusters lost 44 dreadnoughts, 29 carriers, 5 supercarriers, and 3 of those Titan ships that caused the issue in the first place. Whee! And let's see. There's something that actually gives you the scale of what kind of war this had to be on.
Like, real-time war?
Let's see. The war involved 3,000 actual players.
That's kind of impressive for, you know, an online presence.
Yeah.
It makes me start thinking of that Ready Player One and the fact that a lot of stuff just literally takes place in the virtual world of the internet.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting when I read it. Okay, here's what I thought was really interesting, because it was Titan ships specifically. A single Titan, bristling with gun emplacements and heavy armor, can need upwards of over 9,000 pilots. 900 pilots to be into submission. That means there was 3 of those with 900 people on them each.
Like, real live people.
Yeah, actual individuals, not anything computerized. Actual people sitting at their computer working jointly. So 1, that is a boatload of people working jointly. 2, it's awesome that many gamers can actually come together and organize themselves like that. At least I think it's awesome.
Well, yeah, because, you know, it's all these independent people who, you know, have an understanding of what goes on and just, you know, sort of know how things work.
Especially given that some people still think us gamers have an antisocial stigma to us. And then we have that.
I guess it's, you know, real world anti, you know, socialism. I'm like, I feel myself kind of shy, but I've always been sort of a shy person, so I don't think, you know, I'm still shy in game too, so that doesn't make it any better. I mean, I can, you know, randomly go and help people, like in Guild Wars, but I'm not going to sit there and have a conversation with them or something. Mostly too, because half the time when somebody finds out that you're a girl, that can get some weird things. Most of my, you know, experience has been pleasant, which is good. I haven't gotten any real creepy people.
But you still sometimes feel like you're treated a little differently when they find out that you're not of the male orientation.
Yeah.
Which is really sad that that's still out there.
Yeah, well, I guess this is one of the things as being female and sort of more male-dominated things. Like, games are starting to become less and less male-dominated as far as players. it's starting to become pretty even. Some of the larger growing demographics are women who are, you know, I want 30 now. I think it's like the 35 to 45 range. You know, granted, they're more casual people.
Yeah, that's the pop cap demographic, right?
The average age of a gamer is 34 years old. The average age of a most frequent game purchaser is 39. Average number of years adult gamers have been playing computer / video games, 12. 40% of all gamers are female. That's the number I was looking for. I'll put a link to this thing here. It's on the ESRB's webpage for those that are wondering. And when was this posted?
Yeah. The thing is, though, in the industry, female programmers, game developers, that sort of thing, are pathetically low still. And when there are females,
they're not respected.
Oh, the mistreatment is incredibly terrible. I mean,
looks like this was about 2010. Yeah, I actually remember after last E3, I read an article about female game journalism that they kept the when they'd go for their hands-on testing, the people that were showing off the game kept trying to take the game away from her or point her to different aspects in the actual game. So then it just, that doesn't help, that just reinforces it, because then when she does her write-up, she can't do a proper write-up, and people assume that it's because she's a female, not because she didn't get a fair shake at playing the game.
Yeah. I've also, there's one gal who was doing a Kickstarter, and she wanted to talk about the portrayal of women in games, because still, games still don't have a very wide basis of, you know, genders, nationalities, sexual orientations. I mean, they're pretty still, you know, very male-dominated. And so she wanted to just do a study about how females are portrayed in games and what can we do to, you know, sort of recognize this and perhaps, you know, change it. The level of hate mail and threats and death threats and all this stuff that this poor gal got. And she wasn't even like, you know, she wasn't wanting to just say, oh, our games are terrible stuff. She was a gamer too. She just wanted to say, why are games, you know, not made for me? And it's like, well, it's a male-dominated thing. I'm like, no, it's not. It's almost split evenly at this point. And games aren't just for kids either. They, you know, range the gamut from children into adults. Considering the average age is 34, you've got people who are older than that playing games. My dad still plays games. And my dad's well over 50 now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, and he's been playing games since the Atari. That's more than 20 years. He's more than the average. I don't know. I just find it so sad because it's like, I'm not wanting to, you know, make everything. I just want it to be equal. I don't want it to be overly female or overly male. I just would like, you know, some balance. Better portrayals, better characterizations. Not just have one token female person who's a token and who has to embody everything that a female can be. I'm sorry, I've gone off on a rant here.
Said I.
But it's one of those things, you know, I guess I have a different perspective since I have been female and I've been playing games since as long as I can remember. Since I was born, practically. And there's just not a lot of girls. I'll stop now.
So did I. See, that's why you're here. You help represent that part of the demographic. Let's see. What else did I have? So if anybody of you listeners actually check our website, you'll notice that I haven't written a whole lot the past couple weeks. That's because we actually did our 2013 awards a few weeks ago, and I've just been working on getting all those articles written. So now that that's done, I just will need to get them posted. So expect to see those in the next day or so. Or by the time this comes up, if I'm lucky, I'll actually already have those up, and you'll be able to go to thegameslave.com in order to view what our picks are for the best games of 2012.
I saw a trailer for Dead Space 3 here recently, and it's already claiming to be the best game of 2013. I'm like, you haven't even come out yet!
And it's February.
There's a lot of year left.
Actually, if they're talking in best games that have come out yet, it is very easy to say you're the best game of the year so far when it's only 1 month into the year. So that is a very easy claim to make, giving those definitions. Just saying.
Yeah, that's why she's like,
It's like the must-see movie of the year. The year's like 2 weeks in, people.
There's a lot of year left. There's a lot of stuff that's planning on coming out that I will want to see. Like, The Hobbit 2. It's closer now. We're only going to be, like...
11 months away?
Yeah. No, 10 months away. Because it's December, and we're almost February, March, April, half. May, June, July, August, November.
Approximately.
Yeah. Approximately. See? Hooray!
This one should have Bjorn in it. Yay!
But yeah, so honestly, that's about all I have. I didn't have a whole lot this week. You guys?
Game-wise, no. I think I played a little. I watched 3.5 hours of YouTube videos about the Mesmer class in Guild Wars 2.
Were you bored at work at one day?
No, I did it Monday. I was all like, I gotta be able to play my Mesmer better. There are things I am missing in this class. I'm doing better. Every time I've gone back to it, I understand how the class, well, just understanding how the game mechanics work a little bit better made it a lot easier. I was like, oh my gosh, I understand what I'm doing now. So that helped. But I was like, I could probably finesse this a little better. I'm like, well, weapons are really good for this character. I mean, I do certain things, but there could be something that's a little bit more efficient. And yeah, I found this guy. I was looking, you know, just typing in random Google searches, and it are like, they're like, if anybody wants to know about Mesmer, they should just watch these videos from this guy. So I went and watched it. I can't remember what the guy's online handle is right now, but...
We'll get it in the notes from her later.
Yeah, he was extremely in-depth of stuff. His YouTube videos were very nice, and the fact... Okay, granted, they were like 50-plus minute videos, but he went through all the weapons, and what each weapon thing can do, how you make the combos from your weapons. He went through every single utility that the class has, how these utilities work in conjunction with some of your weapons. He started when the game first came out, so he talked about a couple of the patch things that came through later on when they kind of tweaked some stuff for the Mesmer. He was showing, like, some of the stuff that he could do in, like, certain pulls and what he was doing for these pulls. He was showing once when he went to this dungeon that these people were getting creamed by this particular enemy. It was like this eye on a stalk. He was able to basically enclose it in a force field and just burn it down at, like, it was ridiculous. Before the force field was, you know, destroyed in like 8 to 10 seconds, I think the force field last, he had it dead. And everyone's like, holy cow, what did you do? Because apparently the Mesmer is sort of a class that most people kind of avoid because it's not super damage output-y, but the way this guy was playing, he had a very good handle on his character and he could pull multiple targets and, you know, burn them down without killing himself as a cloth-wearing class.
So is the Mesmer a good example of how your skill can actually override the level of equipment you have?
And just, you know, sort of like the raw power outage your character can do too. Yeah, so I was very impressed by this guy's stuff. And then he sort of talked about builds, but more as sort of build theory versus what you should spend your points into. And that's just another thing. It's just understanding the synergy of Guild Wars 2. There is so much. It's insane. And I've been trying to find something comparable for my Guardian class, since that's the thing I play mostly. I've gotten a couple other more pointers, and I've been understanding a little bit more how my combos work and how I can use some of my stuff in conjunction with other people a little bit better, which helps. But I still haven't found anything very definitive that helps me really think about, like, my weapon choices and such. Normally, I'm just running around with my, you know, greatsword. It's not, like, probably the best weapon for my class, but between me and Proteus's Thief, we can burn through things pretty darn quickly, and we're just leveling right now, so that's all we're, you know, just make sure we can live. So I'm still trying to find my other, like, you do Mace and Shield. It's pretty good, but now I'm understanding some of the synergy stuff a little bit more. I'm like, maybe this and this would work better. A lot of it is just experimentation, and I just would like to go make it to in-game so I can, like, reclass all, you know, respec all the time and just see what works. Because there's just so much stuff you can put points into.
Okay.
So that's been my Guild Wars thing. We've only played Guild Wars a little bit the past weekend. We've been gone doing other things.
I played about an hour last night and about an hour and a half today.
Yeah, we played about 30, 45 minutes yesterday and then about 30-45 minutes today. Because the only other geeky thing or just fun thing we did this week was we went to roller derby. Because our friend from high school is on one of the professional roller derby teams. And they're poor girls. They are professional in that. They do get some sponsorship and they do get crowds, but they don't get paid for this. They just do it because they like it. Which is a lot of, like a lot of sports when they first start out. But it was a lot of fun. They skated at the Fillmore
Auditorium,
which is mostly used for concerts, but they have a wicked nice, you know, wood floor surface. So it was the Doom Daisies versus the Red Hood Riders.
Red Riding Hoods.
Red Riding Hoods, thank you. But it was I'm getting all my teams mixed up. Red Riding Hoods, I don't know where I got the other one from. Backwards, I flip things, and the Doom Daisies. But it was a lot of fun. We got there, like, quarter after. Oh, my gosh. You have to get there, like, before the doors open if you want a decent parking spot at a decent seat. At least, I don't know if it's because it was their opening bout or because the Red Riding Hoods have a huge fan base already. I'm surprised how powerful their fan base is. But it sounds like a couple of the girls on their teams have been skating since they, like, the league was founded. And that was 2004. So I can see that they've had a little bit more time to get some popularity, maybe compared to some of the other teams.
To build up that fan base?
Mm-hmm. But there was it looks like they had a pretty good sold-out crowd, and I don't know. I just find roller derby fun once you understand the rules of scoring, and they kind of change some of the way the plays go, but it was fun. I had fun. Our friend did good. Scored some points, but she's just really good at defense and keeping the other jammer from getting through the pack to score anything. And we also went to their after party place, which is Hamburger Mary's in downtown Denver, off of, 17th and Colfax-ish, kind of. It's really good. It's like diner-styled food. You get a lot of it. Oh my gosh, I got a salad. You can't even see the salad.
Impressive.
It was just like a roast strip of tomatoes, and then bacon, and then the turkey, and then the avocado, and then the olives, and then the blue cheese. And then there is, like, a couple eggs that they quartered.
Okay. And then there's some lettuce underneath there somewhere.
Yeah. And I got it, I was like, my lettuce is hiding. Like, really hiding. Like, I couldn't see any of it. It was insane. But it was also karaoke night, and it's like the karaoke drag queen Denver diner sort of thing. That's how Deb described it. And it was. There was a drag queen there who was, you know, heading up the karaoke thing, who actually had a pretty good voice when had to sing, you know, a couple of, you know, tunes. And then there's some other people that got up there that actually could decently sing. There's one girl, though, she did not need the microphone. She could just project, and there's times where it's just like, okay, I'm going to cover my ears, not because you sound bad, it's just because you're too loud. But the food was good. We had fun. Our friends were there, especially some friends we hadn't seen in, like, forever. Then we went over to the after party and talked with Frack, our skater friend, for a little bit. She was glad that we stopped by because she thought we all had left, and we didn't, because we didn't get a chance to really talk to her after on the track, because she had to... They're sponsoring Girl Scout troop, but it was the Daisies, which are like the little Girl Scouts, like before, like Cub Scouts for, you know.
I thought those are brownies.
No, the Daisies are like the equivalent of Tiger Cubs. They're like...
Oh, okay.
They're like first graders.
Okay.
They're the really young ones, like when they can first start out, I guess, in Girl Scouts. Teeny tiny.
Cool.
And then they have, like, Girls Inc., which is another charity that helps disadvantaged teens and such. So they're having to do all these pictures and other things, and we're like, oh, I guess we could go to the after party. It's a good thing we did that, because otherwise we would have gotten in when we did, and got seated when we did. It was a hopping place. But it was fun.
Good to hear.
So that was our geeky thing. So if you have roller derby in your area, I suggest you go and check it out. It's $20 a ticket, usually, at least here. And Denver has a little bit, I don't know, Denver seems to be pretty good about supporting a variety of sports teams a lot. So maybe your area is not as good, but
You hear that? Denver's better.
I don't know. I don't know how other places seem. I can understand people who have, you know, larger populaces like New York or something, but then there's, you know, places that are a lot smaller like Cheyenne or whatnot. So, you know, it might vary, but if you do have it, I suggest you go and check it out. It, you know, it's a minimal investment for, you know, a couple hours of entertainment, and it's a lot of fun.
Cool. Good to hear. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and call it on that one. Just FYI, next week is either going to be a short show with just myself, or it's going to end up having to be put off until the week after due to some scheduling conflicts. In the meantime, though, you can head to thegameslave.com. Now that I'm done writing the Game of the Year awards, I might actually try to do something else. You can go ahead and send us questions, comments, ideas for that you want us to write on to mail@thegameslave.com. You can also find us on Twitter @thegameslave or on Facebook. If you have any questions, comments, I already went over that. Have a great week and game on.
Game on.
Game on.